This is Jason Lopez of PodTech.net and PodTech News. I'm with Mark Kwame, who delivered the keynote address at the AdTech 2006 conference in San Francisco. We're sitting here in the press room chatting about all things internet and about what you spoke about in your keynote this morning. You said that people are spending more time on their computers. Now, some people would argue that the next big thing is not necessarily more content on the internet, but a way to find that content.
Mm-hmm.
When you closed your keynote and said that you think that the next Google is just right around the corner, is there a connection to being able to find all this content now that's being generated on the web and that next Google?
Well, I should be more precise. The next Google is the next $100 billion company. I'm not saying that, you know, the next big company is going to be a search company. For all I know, maybe that company's already been created and it's YouTube and it's, you know, seeing videos on the net. But what I do strongly believe in is that, you know, how the internet's being used today and how it's going to be used 5 and 10 years from now is going to be very different. And so entrepreneurs who come up with tools and technologies to address that will be very, you know, nicely rewarded. So part of that's going to be search. I mean, we're starting to see this whole thing called vertical search where, you know, there's companies that are, you know, focusing on job search or video search or this search or that search. And, you know, and Google's got a great product there and Yahoo's got some products there and others. But I don't exactly know where it's going to come. If I knew, I'd probably go do it, right? But it is going to come, and we're starting to see the emergence of that.
Well, that's a good point. If you knew, then you'd go there. How far ahead of the crest can we see? Can anybody see, do you think?
The thing that I have been paying very close attention to is the amount of broadband adoption in homes. There's about... you know, we're getting close to 40% of homes have broadband. Broadband being defined as better than 500, you know, kbits, which, you know, around the world is tiny. You know, that's narrowband in some places around the world, like Japan and Korea and others. But, you know, if we can get to 40, 50 million homes with a megabit down and the internet's constantly on, you fundamentally change how you use it. You're always on. And that always-on internet, the ability just to go. I mean, remember in the old days, you know, you'd have to go boot up your modem, you know, make all those funny noises. And, you know, 5 minutes later, you're finally surfing the net at, you know, 28.8. And it was a pretty painful experience. Well, now that all those barriers has dropped. So that's one thing I look very carefully at. And then I think the other big phenomenon is just the adoption of these new media types, whether it's videos, whether it's photos. People want to share. People want to communicate this stuff. And anyway, there's a lot of other things.
Yeah. You also mentioned content creation and that the internet is actually enabling a wider variety of content that we're consuming out there. What does this say about the opportunities for the developers of this content? Because it seems like that could be watered down quite a bit. Like, again, the argument that the aggregators are going to be the ones that actually benefit the most from content moving to the web.
Well, I think Google's a good example of where the little guy wins, right? Because I can throw up some AdSense words, I use the Google advertising network, and I get a portion of the revenue. I'm also an investor in a company called AdBright that allows web publishers to throw up an ad block and people advertise directly on that spot. So the small publisher, the little guy wins there. I think you'll see the same thing in video, and we're investors in Podshow, where you can create a podcast like you guys have had and use their advertising network. You get a portion of the revenue. So I actually think these aggregators or these guys now, and the new model, is they don't control all the eyeballs, they don't control all the advertising. They basically create these, you know, virtual networks, if you will, of people entering in new content through, you know, user-generated content, and then they're then also providing advertising dollars to those folks. And I think you'll start seeing that in the pure user-generated stuff. I could see in the future, again, I don't know if YouTube's going to do this or not, but if I have a real popular video on YouTube and they're making, you know, throw an ad on there, I get a portion of the ad revenue. So I think that's the kind of thing you'll start seeing.
And then in terms of development, some people have argued that TV, radio, newspapers, there's not much more left to develop there. And head-to-head comparison right now between internet media and traditional media holds up pretty well in terms of functionality and price and that sort of thing. Do you think that the value of traditional media will at least be maintained enough that we'll still have newspapers, we'll still have TV, we'll still have those things, even looking long out into the future?
I'm no newspaper. I think newspaper magazines have the biggest challenge. Yeah. I think you'll see national newspapers and national magazines. I think the day of the daily, the local mag for the local community, is on the wane big time, because it's just too costly for these guys to produce these papers, and advertising is going to shrink, and local is just growing like crazy on the net. So, I don't think the Wall Street Journal is going to go anywhere. I don't think the New York Times is going anywhere, or the Washington Post or the LA Times. But some of these local, small local papers, I think, have a real hard time over a period of time. Same thing with the local radio channels. If I can do podcasting like we're doing right here, you and a couple of your buddies and a computer, why, what's going to – and you guys get tens of thousands of listeners – I think the local radio station with their costs are going to be difficult. So I think the first two are going to be hit are kind of the magazine sector and the newspaper sector. I think it's going to be a long time before television is really impacted, because television is such a broad branding stroke that you can do stuff. Now, with that being said, I think television goes digital, and it's in the process of doing that. As I mentioned in my talk, I think TVs will start in the next kind of 4 to 5 years being IP addressable. So that's going to be more like the internet experience than it will be like the television experience.
Yeah, and one thing you didn't mention in your speech, but you're talking to ad people out here and not talking to the developers, is that the costs for creating a lot of these types of content on the internet are just, you did mention that the cost for getting all those viewers of YouTube was practically nothing.
Yep.
But the cost for creating all that is much lower. Yep. So if you look at the cost for putting on a TV show, it's so high you have to get a certain amount of listenership or viewership in order to make that good.
Yep.
And you pull that down just a little bit, and you suddenly throw a kink in the whole process. Whereas on the internet, you've got a much wider range to deal with.
It's going to be real interesting. The TV upfronts happen in next month. And last year was a real challenge, and it's going to be really interesting to see how advertisers are going to treat the upfronts. I think, this whole idea of, throwing a whole bunch of money down on a hope and a prayer that, this show is going to be the next Desperate Housewives or the next American Idol. I mean, that's a challenge. And so I think, I think those areas are going to really suffer because of that.
Mark, thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.